All right, let's go to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 59 tonight. Isaiah 59. And once you found your place, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Isaiah 59, 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. There is a superhero. That's not the message. But that's the dress of a superhero. Not the big S on his chest or whatever. But anyway, verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings again, just being here with your people. Lord, I thank you for each one of them. Lord, you know that I pray for them today. I love them, Lord, and I want to be a help to them. I want you to be, Lord God, to speak through me, to fill me, Lord God, to control my mouth, my thoughts, everything, Lord God, that's said and done here tonight. Please bind the enemy. We plead the shed blood of Jesus now. We pray for your power and your liberty, Father. Father, in this place, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read most of this chapter, so just stay with me if you would. I'm going to go back here to the beginning of the chapter, 59, verse 1, and then I'll give you the message title here in a second. But let's read there in verse 1 of chapter 59, Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Notice, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. As we focus on drawing near to God this year, that's our theme. We must understand that we cannot do it as long as we're cleaving to our iniquities. Okay? And it says right there in verse 2, our iniquities separate us between us and God. So therefore, we're never going to draw near to God as long as we are regarding iniquity in our hearts. And notice in verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath uttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now, God is talking to Israel here through Isaiah, and he's telling them about all of their sins as a nation. Notice that it says there their hands are defiled with blood. That's murder. Then it says their fingers with iniquity. That means they're just doing things with their hands that they should not be doing. It says there that their lips have spoken lies. It says that their tongue has muttered perverseness. I wonder how God feels about those things that we take so lightly, right? It's just a little white lie. It's just a little curse word. It's just a little four-letter word. It's no big deal. God says your tongue has muttered perverseness. That just means it's just one little word that's profane. It's one little curse word. It's one little white lie. But the Bible says that these things had taken over the nation of Israel. Verse 4, none called for justice. It says that they did not plead for truth. The scrolls, listen now, it was so bad that the scrolls had been lost in the temple and for years, and nobody even cared. What I mean is the Bibles were just, their copies of the Bible were lost in the temple, and nobody even used the temple anymore. They used the groves, they used the high places, they had their own idols in their own homes, and so the scrolls were lost, and nobody even cared. Nobody called for justice, they didn't plead for truth. It says none. This was a nation that was completely gone from God. Gone. And it says they trust in vanity, verse 4, and speak lies. They trust in vanity. You know what that means, don't you? They're trusting in their own goodness. They're trusting in their goodness. I'm not so bad. I don't need all that. I'm not that bad of a person. They're trusting in their vanity. And notice it says they speak lies. They conceive mischief. Now listen, to conceive something, you understand, is you're bringing it forth. It's starting in you, and you're the one perpetrating it. So they conceive mischief here. It says here they bring forth iniquity. It says they hatch cockatrice eggs. That's a poisonous asp, an adder, a snake. They weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. In other words, what God's saying is they're not being overtaken by temptation. They're the ones initiating the evil. They're initiating, and they're the ones tempting other people. Yep. They're the nation now, instead of being vexed. Remember, God said, when you come into the land of Canaan, make sure that you put away all of the strange gods, or they're going to vex you. They're going to be like needles in your eyeballs. They're going to vex you. Well, that's not happening anymore. It's the other way around now. They're gone so far away from God that they're conceiving the iniquity themselves. This is a nation who has completely gone away from God. They're initiating the evil. They're the ones that are stirring it up and tempting other people. In verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. God says, look, your works aren't going to cover you up. You remember Adam and Eve, don't you? A little fig leaf here, a little fig leaf there. Made themselves aprons of fig leaves. And God says, do you think that's going to cover you? Yeah. But see, and God's saying the same thing to them. Their webs, they're weaving webs like spiders. They're trying to hide behind this spider web. And you know that the poet that said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. That, I think he was talking about Israel. And it says here, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves. Their works are works of what? Iniquity, verse 6. The act of violence is in their hands. And God's just saying, there's nothing good about these people at all anymore. They're so far gone from me. Their feet, verse 7, run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts, even. There's nothing going on here, even in their thoughts, their thoughts of iniquity. It says they're wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. I'm telling you what, there is never any peace to the wicked.
Yeah, that's right.
No peace at all to the people who live in this kind of lifestyle. The heart of these kind of people, these people are in absolute anxious anxiety and turmoil in their spirits and their minds every day. Verse 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. Notice, we wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. What's going on here is they want justice. Some of them want this to stop. It says they can't find it, though. They want light. They want brightness, but they're groping for it with no eyes, as if they had no eyes. It doesn't say they had no eyes. It says they grope as if they had no eyes. That means that their hearts, don't miss this picture here. God's drawing us a picture of the nation of Israel, and he's saying that their hearts were so hard. Their hearts were so filled with all the things we just read about that their eyes were not even able to find light even if they looked for it. Yeah. They did not know what they were even looking for, brother. They didn't even know what it was anymore. They were so far gone. They're groping for something to make them feel better, something to make them have that peace that they don't have, but yet they don't even know where to look because their hearts are so far from God. This is the nation. This is God's people. Groping for the wall like the blind, like a drunk man, groping as if we had no eyes, stumbling at noonday as in the night. In other words, stumbling for no reason, just unstable in all their ways. Desolate places as dead men, verse 11. We roar all like bears. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Know what that is? That's anger. That's uncontrolled anger. Uh-huh. Screaming and roaring and yelling like bears. Right. Now, you know the type. Some of you may be the type before you got saved. But the fact is, all of this sin breeds anger and rage in a person's heart. Look what it says. And mourn sore like doves. So one's over here roaring like a bear, and the other one's over here weeping like a dove. But, I mean, that's a miserable home. That is a pretty miserable home. We got anger in one corner, we got weeping in another corner, misery, anger, fighting, raging. We look for judgment, but there is none, verse 11. There's no hope. It says our salvation's far off from us. Notice in verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. Now look, it says here, and as for our iniquities, we know them. So you know what's with them? You know what they're drawing near to? Their transgressions. Uh-huh. Their iniquities. Right. Their sins. This is a nation that used to be the God-fearing people of Israel.
Amen, amen, that's right.
Now their nation is so completely far from God that instead of being close to God at all that they say, all that's with them now is transgression. All that's with them now is evil and sin and raging and roaring and crying and weeping, and somebody's looking for help and they don't even know where to look. They can't find it. They're stumbling around. I mean, God really is drawing a graphic image here of His own people.
Yeah.
It says here in verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, notice here, and departing away from our God. Departing away from our God. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Justice, you understand, God standeth afar off. Judgment is turned away backwards. God is nowhere near them. All that they have in their hearts is transgression, iniquity, evil, lies. They have despair. They have roaring bears and mourning, weeping doves. They have no presence of God anywhere. And they even admit it here. The Bible says here, what does it say? That God, they have departed away from our God. Not somebody else's God. But the God that used to be their leader, the God that used to lead them into, that fed them and gave them water from a rock and manna, and the God that gave them the promised land, and the God that always, always, always did everything they needed Him to do, and now they know it's their God, but they're so far gone, but yet they don't even know where to look to get Him back.
Uh-huh.
They don't even know where to look. Judgment's turned away backward.
Yeah.
And then justice standeth afar off. Truth, of verse 14, is fallen dead in the street. Now, I know this is Israel, folks, but if you're listening and if you have half a brain, this is real similar to the United States of America. It says here, notice, truth falleth in the street, equity cannot enter, yea, truth faileth, that means it's dying. And he that departeth, notice, this is eye-opening here in verse 15. He that departeth from evil, he that says, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, amen.
I am not going to continue down this road.
Right.
I am no longer going to follow this foolishness. This person who says, an independent fundamental Baptist who says, you know what? I am not going down that road anymore. I've had enough of that.
Amen.
Look what is he makes himself a prey.
That's right.
What does that mean, preacher? That's what I mean, is someone who desires to live a separated life and who desires not to be like the rest of them becomes a target.
Oh. That's right.
Oh. Becomes a target for these roaring bears.
Right. Right. Yeah. You preach it, brother. Come on.
They make themselves a prey. And so obviously, now listen, think about it. Let's just say, for example, Brother Byron would decide, okay, I've had enough of this, and he goes and he gets himself in a good church, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm on the fence over here, and I'm starting to watch Brother Byron, and he's, you know, he used to be with me, and I used to be, you know, we used to be over here hanging out. Now he's going to church and, you know, reading the Bible and stuff. So I'm on the fence, so I'm watching Brother Byron, you know. And then I see Brother Byron getting attacked. by all these other people, calling him names, making fun of him, calling him holy roller, Bible thumper, church freak, Jesus freak, and attacking him because he's made himself a prey.
Amen.
And so guess what happens is I say, oh man, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I go right on back to Egypt. I go right on back out of the will of God. You see, that's what's happening. See, that's what's going on in Israel. It's so bad that when anybody says, I've had enough, everybody else attacks them because they don't want anybody to stand up and say anything against them. And when everybody else sees that, they say, oh yeah, I think, yeah, we better go ahead and hang out over here in our liberal churches. Because I don't want any of that. And this is God's people. Now look, there's obviously, the Bible says in verse 15, the Lord saw it, yeah, and it displeased him that there was no judgment.
Yeah.
Verse 16, this is what I'm getting at here. He saw that there was no man. Now that's another message right there. That's where it all starts right there. There's no men willing to stand up and say, look, this is how it's going to be in my house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, does that mean you're going to have a happy family? No, but that means you're going to be right with God. And that means that if you'll stay right with God and stay faithful to God, God will take care of that. But the thing is, you're still making yourself a prey.
Yeah.
But that's what men are supposed to do. Men are supposed to be strong and quit yourselves like men and live by faith. God doesn't want women running the nation. He wants men to run the nation and to be the examples because that's how he made us. Now that's another message though, but I thought that was free. Amen. But notice what he says there in verse 16. And listen, ladies, I'm not against you. You know that. I'm married to a very precious lady and I wouldn't be anything without her. So Don't get me wrong. You know, there is a place, a perfect place for a lady, but it's not leading the nation.
That's right.
It's verse 16. He saw that there was no man, and notice what he wondered at. There was no intercessor. Verse 16. And therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness, it sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. That's where we began reading. See, no intercessor. You know what God was really disturbed about? All of that sin should have been, obviously, displeased God. But what was he wondering about? He's wondering about this one thing. Why isn't there anybody drawing near to me? Why isn't there anybody interceding for this nation? Why isn't there anybody interceding for this evil? Why isn't there anybody drawing near to me in the middle of all of this and praying and interceding for their people, for their nation? There was not one person in intercessory prayer to God for this nation. Because again, they made themselves pray. As we look at all the evil of the nation, we understand, again, the theme for last year was, verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. We talked about the Spirit of the Lord lifting up a standard, living above the flood. And we see here that that's exactly what's going on in this chapter, that the enemy has completely come in like a flood and listen, washed everybody away from God. I mean, do you understand what that's what's going on here? That's why the chapter ends up in verse 19 with the enemy coming in like a flood. And that a flood washing, an enemy's flood is washing people away from God. And so what we're talking about here, I'm trying to make the connection here between last year's theme and this year's theme. I want to make that connection and help you understand this. Last Sunday night, those of you who were here, you heard a lot of preaching about one main topic that night, and it was what? Separation.
Right.
If you remember, they talked about returning to the old past. They talked about building the walls, living a holy life, and things like that. And so that was the theme last year. Listen now. And so thank God some of them got it. Some of you got it.
Amen.
That is the theme of this thing of the flood and standing up and living above the flood. But here's what I want you to understand. Sadly, however, regardless of the ones who got it, many didn't, and many got washed away. Many are now living in this condition of what I just read to you.
Yeah.
People that used to sit right beside you.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Now, so that theme was separation, but you understand, this year's theme is connected to it, very directly connected to it. That is drawing near to God.
Amen.
Here's the message title tonight: Steer Clear and Draw Near. Steer clear and draw near. In our text, look in verse 16 again. He saw that there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. God is wondering why there's no one drawing near to Him in the midst of all that evil. I tell you what, we have a few tonight. We do have a few tonight. But I'm here to tell you, a whole lot less than what it used to be.
Yep.
And I still believe God's in heaven up there wondering, why is it that no one's drawing near to me?
Yeah.
Why is it that everyone is following this flood of evil? Why is it that everyone's just letting this evil flood take them and control their lives? Could it be then that in our text here tonight that God is saying that to you and me that drawing near to Him will make a difference? I think that's exactly what God's saying. Because
yeah.
God didn't say, I wonder why they're so evil. Well, He knows why they're evil.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why they're going so far away. No, He knows why. You know what He said? He said, I wonder why I can't find anybody to draw near to me and pray for them.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God's wondering. He knows the wicked hearts of men. He knows they're evil. He knows they're deceitful, desperately wicked. But He's wondering, but I've got some people down there. I've got some of my own people, those who have called upon my name. Why aren't they interceding? Why aren't they drawing near?
Yeah.
And here's, you know, the point is this. Because they were being swept away like everybody else.
Yep.
They were being swept away like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, steering clear is separation. That's living above the flood. But dearly beloved, tonight I want to say to you, that's not all of the equation. And these guys that preached this Sunday night, they got it, praise God for it. But listen to me, why would God want us to steer clear and just stay there? There's more to it. God wants us to draw near after we steer clear. God wants us to come to be separated from and then separate unto. You understand? There is two parts to this thing, and I believe God did this on purpose. I didn't pick these themes. God gave me these themes, and I'm thinking that He's trying to help us understand something, that God wants us to draw near to Him in the midst of all of this evil flood.
Amen.
What difference would it make anyway? Well, number one, it separates us from the evil.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I mean, I believe that's the primary reason, because God knows that we need to be separated from the evil. Again, above the flood is where it's safe, church. That's where it's safe. You remember Houston, don't you? That where it was safe was above the flood. But here's the thing. You have to have a reason to live above the flood.
Amen.
You have to have a better reason than just because the pastor said so, or because it's what's right to do. You have to have a better reason. You see, character, discipline, duty, they only last so long.
Right.
Because we're flesh, we're human, we're sinners. It's not enough to just live a separated life. Here's why. Because you'll forget why you're even separated.
Right.
Because you'll be a prey. Now come on, you don't have to agree with me. I know, I've talked to many of you. I pray for you. I know some things that's going on in your life. And I know you have become a prey just by coming to this church.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
People are talking about you. Your own family's talking about you. And your own family's talking about your preacher, talking about your church, talking about your lifestyle and the changes you're making. And people are talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You've made yourself a prey. And if you're not, listen to me, if you just stop at being separated, you're not going to stay there, because there's got to be more than that.
Right.
You've got to know why you're separated.
Amen.
You've got to know why you're separated. And listen, it's not enough to just do what's right. Do what's right. Discipline is good, but devotion to God is much better.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? See the difference there? Duty and determination. Absolutely. Amen. But you know, we can go back to boot camp, and we can all get beat into shape. Mm-hmm. Took a long time for some of me. And then, you know, we can be told to do this and told to do that. Right. And we can do it. You know, we can respond and say, how high. Right. But the fact is, that's not going to keep us there. Right. We're just doing it out of duty, uh-huh. out of fear, uh-huh. out of obligation, out of responsibility. But God says, look, that's not why I want you to be separated. Right. That's not the only reason. See, why don't you try direct communication with God and let Him mold you and change you. And so you want to be separated because that's where God is. Yeah. Amen. You see, it's totally different than just being, okay, I'm going to be separated. Now what, preacher? Okay, that's a good place to start. A right attitude is good, but it only lasts for a season.
Yeah.
See, when you detach, you have to reattach to something else, somebody else. Say, God wants us to be separated from the evil. Yeah. That's why He says, I wonder, why is there no intercessor? Because listen, if I'm down here wallowing in the mud with the hogs, I'm not concerned about the hogs' well-being. Amen. I'm in the mud with them. If I'm up here, if I'm wallowing down here with the hogs, I'm certainly not going to be flying up here with the eagles at the same time. So I'm not going to be worried, okay, because I'm just part of it. I'm just got the same mud on me they got on them. But God says, why aren't you interceding for them? Why don't you understand how wrong they are? Why don't you understand how far from me they've departed from me and they're miles and miles away? And He says, why aren't, is anybody interceding for them? You're not going to do, you're going to be taken away by the same evil they are. See, when we draw near to God, we're reminded how much better it is with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen.
If you just get away from the evil, just detach yourself from the evil, listen, then what? See, you got to draw near to God then.
Amen.
You got to draw near to God then. Yeah. Because remember, you can't do it. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
I just read to you in chapter 59 there, beginning of the verse, the chapter, verse 1 and 2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Right. So you can't have it both ways. But when iniquity separates us from God, God says, listen, I'm over here. Separate yourself from the iniquity. Separate yourself from the evil. But don't stop there. You've got to then connect yourself, draw near to me.
Amen.
Because like I said, when you separate yourself, you're making yourself a prey.
Right.
You're labeling yourself, whatever they're calling you nowadays. Those you know, you're one of those King James guys. You know, there's just all kinds of names. Yeah, you're in Hallelujah, guys. That's, yeah. But see, when I get close to God and I draw near to God, I remember how holy and righteous He is. You understand what I'm saying? And see, if I just separate and I just kind of stand there on my own by myself and let everybody wail away on me with their tongues, then I'm not going to stay there. But when I draw near unto God, I'm reminded how holy and how righteous and how perfect and how pure and how giving and amazing. I'm reminded how much He wants me to be separated.
Amen.
I'm reminded it's not just because somebody else said to. I'm reminded it's because it says that your sins separate you from me. Therefore, when I draw close to Him, I have a relationship with Him that I did not have when I was over there in that sin.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So He wants us to separate from the evil. He wants us to come to Him, draw near to separate from the evil. He wants us, because listen to me, secondly, He wants us to separate unto Himself. You see, it's not just that He wants us to come away. He wants us to be with Him.
Amen.
That was weak.
Yeah.
I don't think we really... That's why I'm going to preach on this for a lot this year. Because you got the separation thing down. I think most of you understand it. It's evil, it's dangerous, it's apostasy, it's a flood, it's going to hurt me, it's going to kill my family. But I don't think we got this other thing down of drawing near to God, because that's where He wants us to be.
Amen.
That's where He wants us to be. Because He wants us to be with Him.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
He look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We probably won't be back. But look in Luke chapter 9. Back to Isaiah. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray, to draw near. You see that? And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in what? Glory. And spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, kind of like a lot of you while I'm preaching. And when they were awake, notice, they saw his what?
Glory.
Now listen, God, that's God's glory.
Amen. Yeah.
That's God's glory. They saw God's glory because they were up on the mountain. Jesus went up, up. Where do we say we have to live when it comes to the flood? Above the flood. So Jesus went up to pray. That's that intercession we were talking about in Isaiah 59. And notice his countenance in verse 29. The fashion of his countenance was changed. He had a different appearance of his face. It's not just his appearance. It's his spirit. It's his whole appearance of his perspective. But his facial expression, everything was changed. In other words, it was no more roaring. I know I'm talking about Jesus, but this, folks, we can pray too.
Amen.
Amen. We can get a hold of God too.
Amen.
We can get into God's glory too.
Amen.
That's what I don't think we understand. I don't think we, and by the grace of God, I want to understand it more.
Amen. Amen.
We can get into the glory of God and get into the presence of God just like Jesus did. Now, we're not going to be glorified like he was until we get to heaven, but we can get closer than we are now.
Amen.
And his countenance was changed. His the Bible says even his clothing was changed. His clothing, it says here, and his raiment was white and glistering. You see, and then his companions were even changed, but with him were instead of just Peter, James, and John, he was now with Moses and Elijah. He stepped up in the world, man.
Amen.
When it came to his companions. You know, Peter. Peter. Peter's over here sleeping. Jesus is on the mountain praying, and Peter's... I'm telling you, these guys were Baptists. He's over here sleeping. And here's Jesus with Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, right.
On the mountain, the glory of God is just radiant everywhere.
Amen.
When's the last time you think they were really with God?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they can't even stay awake long enough to see Jesus glorified. It's sad, but a lot of us are right there.
Yeah.
Can I say, I don't want to be right there.
That's right. Amen.
Anymore.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to be right there anymore. Jesus was, of course, always is our example, our standard. He's our standard, guys.
Amen.
He's our standard, Jesus.
Amen.
And his countenance was changed. He was all of a sudden friendly, smiling, joyful, at peace.
Amen.
No more roaring and mourning and lying and cheating and stealing.
Amen.
And his countenance has changed. His clothing was even changed. He even looked different.
Amen.
He even looked different.
Amen.
When you draw near to God, you will change even the way you look.
Yep.
Your
Amen.
Clothes will even start to change.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
See, I don't think we... listen, it's not just about, well, I'm wearing this because I'm separated. That's not enough.
Right.
You're going to get bitter. You're going to get angry. You're going to get rebellious because somebody's making me wear these stupid clothes. Why do I got to wear this dress? Why can't I wear what I want to wear? That's because you're not drawing near to God.
Amen.
All you're doing is separating, but you're not separating unto the glory of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's right. Come on, preach.
See, that's what we're missing, church. That's
Amen.
What we're missing.
Amen.
That's what I want this year to be about.
Amen.
We got the separation thing down. Some of you do. Some of you are still fighting it. You're still squirming in your seat every time we talk about it. But that's because you're not drawing near to God.
Amen.
You're not drawing near to where the glory, like I said before, you know, you get under the spout where the glory comes out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You get close as you can. The front row ought to be full.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all, we gotta work on that. Everything was changed about Jesus because he went up above the flood into intercessory prayer with his Father, and the glory of God came down, and everything changed.
Amen.
His companions changed. He wasn't hanging out with Peter anymore.
Yep.
It was Moses and Elijah, glory to God. You know, you folks, listen to me. Separation is not just so I can be mean to my old friends.
Right.
If they want to come along, come along. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I invite you to come along. Come with me into the light of the glory of God. I'm not going to stay over there in the darkness. Come with me into the light, and we'll all hang out with Moses and Elijah. But you over there, no more. That's not me anymore. The flood of evil has taken you there, but I've been there long enough. But it's not enough to just separate.
That's right.
We've got to draw near to that glory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then I won't want that anymore.
Right.
Peter and James and John woke up like, what happened? And they said, well, let's build 3 tabernacles. There's Moses and Elijah. And God said, Peter, zip it.
Yeah. Amen.
Peter, you got to wake up. Notice it says in verse 33, came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. What do you know? You were asleep. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Notice it say, what's it say there? Not knowing what he said. Does anybody ever feel that way? What did I just say? You know why? Because Peter was asleep when he should have been drawing near.
Amen.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Jesus was drawing near. Peter was asleep.
Right.
Therefore, Peter had no idea what he was saying.
Right.
Peter was not saying it. It sounded really religious. It sounded really spiritual, didn't it?
Yep.
Let's build 3 tabernacles. Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Peter, wake up.
Amen.
And understand something, we don't build tabernacles to Moses and Elijah. And out of heaven came that booming voice and said, Peter, wake up, son. This is my beloved son. Worship him.
Amen.
Hear ye him.
Hey.
Draw near to him.
Amen.
Oh, you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? See, separation is just the very beginning. It's a good thing. But if you don't understand this, if you don't get the second half of it, the second, I believe, more important part of it, you're not going to stay separated. It's just going to be a drudgery. It's just going to be a drain. It's just going to be a painful experience. And you're going to leave church, and you're going to end up telling all your friends how legalistic they are down there, how many rules they have down there. It's all about rules and religion. And that's because you completely missed the most important part. Because you did not draw near to God.
That's right.
Listen, it's more important to understand the whole picture than just half of it. God said, I know they're wicked. Of course they're wicked. But why aren't you drawing near to me? He wants us to be separated from the evil because he knows it's going to kill us. But he also wants us to separate unto him because he's pleased to dwell with. You understand, God loves you.
That's right.
We're weak in that area.
Yes, sir.
I am. Yes.
God is pleased to have us close to him. Now, that's hard for me to understand.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I'm serious. That's hard for... Let's just be... that's hard for me to get a hold of. God wants me close to him. After what I've done today, after what I thought today, after what I said, God... Yes, yes, yes! Because that's the only way you're going to clean up.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Because if you don't draw near to him, all you're going to do, again, you're just going to be following rules. And rules without relationship always equals rebellion.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't have a relationship with the Father who's calling you out, then you're going to be rebellious and you're going to say, forget this, and you're going to get it all completely out of order. It's not about rules. It's about the relationship with the one who died for you.
Amen.
Who said, look, your sins are separating you from me. And I saved you to be with me. We're weak on that, folks. Independent Baptists, we do like separation. We need to preach separation. And I'm going to preach it till I'm blue in the face or Jesus takes me home. But there's more to it than just coming out.
Right.
We've got to go to Him.
Yeah,
or we're going to get real ugly bitter. Real ugly bitter. He wants us to separate unto Himself. God created us for that relationship.
Amen.
You remember the Garden of Eden, don't you? God created man and then He talked to him.
Yep, He did. Amen.
I mean, He personally communicated with Adam.
Yes.
Just like I'm talking to you, brother. God was standing there talking to Adam.
Right. Amen.
That's what He wants.
Amen.
That's what He wants. Amen. And then the sin came. Then the sin came, and when they heard His voice, what'd they do? They hid. Has it ever dawned on you that they didn't even see Him, Brother Byron? They just heard His voice. You know what happens is, when you have sin in your life, and you come to church, and the King James Bible, the Word of God is preached, and the Holy Spirit speaks, you don't see God.
No.
But you hear that voice.
Amen, brother. Praise God.
And when there's sin in your life, you know what you want to do? I'm not coming back to this place. I'm not coming back to this place. And they're back out in the flood.
Yes, sir.
They had their chance, didn't they? God said, Adam, where art thou, Adam? He spoke. They were hit. They didn't see anything. They just heard.
Right.
They heard that old King James Bible preached and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God moving in their heart. But see, they knew they were guilty. They knew they were in sin. And they hid from it and they tried to hide and say, well, maybe He'll go away. And that's what happens. They go out back to their old lives as if they can run away from God.
That's right, brother. You're preaching.
And you know, if you don't have a relationship with Him, you're going to do the same thing. You're not different. You're still a sinner. You're still an old sinner. You're still a sinner. And that's still your nature. That's still my nature. And listen, if I don't draw near to Him, then as soon as my sins start to separate me from Him, I hear that voice. And instead of drawing near to Him, what they do? Hide.
That's right.
See, God said, I want to have a relationship with you. He personally communicated with Adam and Eve.
Yes, He did.
He provided for them. He gave them that whole garden. He protected them. Listen, He said, don't eat of that tree. That was protection, church. That wasn't a rule. That was protection.
Amen.
He personally communicated. He provided everything they needed. He protected them. Why? Because He wanted to have a relationship with them.
Amen.
He still does.
Amen.
He still does.
Amen.
He wants us to stay right.
Yes, sir.
He's trying to get us, listen, He said, separate yourself from that tree. That's what He said. That's what God said. Separate yourself from that tree.
Amen.
Talking snakes. Bad thing. Bad, bad, bad. Bad idea to listen to a talking snake.
That's right.
God, listen, God wanted just to, you know, He just wanted to have that paradise Eden forever. Now, sooner or later we might have come along, I guess. But we would have been a lot better than we are now. I mean, Karina would never even disobey mom and dad. I know you don't do real bad things, but we would never even disobey.
Amen.
Think about that. Nobody would ever disobey you, Brother Worcester. All of your kids, Uh-huh. Your wife would be submissive to you. Uh-huh. Your children would love you. It would be paradise. All of us would have all. Listen, that's what God wanted.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what. That's why he didn't create them and put them in another planet.
Right.
He said, "Look, I'm here with you."
Amen. Yeah.
And he's still trying to do that today. Amen. He's still trying to call us out today.
Sure,
Jose, where art thou?
Praise God.
Byron, where art thou? Amen. Joshua, where art thou? Sabrina, where art thou? Why? Because he wants us to have a relationship. He wants us to come close to him.
Uh-huh. Amen.
He's not trying. I mean, see, we don't think about it in the right perspective.
Amen.
Oh, all he does is make rules. Oh, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Good night. I'm forget. I've got another church. Oh, they don't care what I do over there. That's right. And you are miles away from God.
That's right, brother.
Over there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why God said, I can't find one man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because they're all over there in that church.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that sin separates you miles away.
Amen.
See, God says, I can't find one intercessor. I can't find one person that will draw near to me and pray. Pray for their country. Pray for their city. Pray for their parents. Pray for their children. Pray for their pastor. Pray for their church family. Pray for their leadership. Pray for their president. Pray for each other. Pray. But see, when I pray, I'm drawing near to God.
Amen.
Just like Jesus was.
Amen.
And it will change you. And you won't care that you're changed. You'll be glad that you're changed because you're with God now. You're closer to God than you've ever been in your whole life.
Amen.
When you draw near.
Yep.
And you let him change you.
Right.
Let him change you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to change you. Because you were over there swept away in that evil flood. So come over here. First of all, get out of that evil. And second of all, come over here with me.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
That's what the theme of the year is going to be.
Amen.
Draw near to God.
Amen.
Yes, separate. But don't stop there.
Amen.
God's in heaven wondering, man, I died for them. I shed my blood for them. All I want to do is have a real close relationship with them, like a father and his children. And the flood of evil, of course, is sweeping in the other direction. God says, look, I'll raise up a standard. But when you get above the flood, look, draw near to me. Why isn't there anybody drawing near to me?
Yeah.
It won't matter what he says.
Right.
Because you'll know, hey, that's God.
Yep.
And when somebody makes fun of you, you'll be like, who cares?
Right. Amen.
Who cares? I'm with God.
Amen.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor peace within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. But then my Savior came along and he showed me I was wrong. And he placed me on the winning side.
Amen.
And now I'm on the winning side. Amen. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. You've Amen. Got to draw near to God. It's not enough just to stand up and be different. Because you will get knocked down quicker than you can blink.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you take something that was said tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, this year to make a personal decision. And Lord, I'm not just going to separate, but I'm going to draw near. I'm going to steer clear of that flood, and I'm going to draw near to my God. Lord, bless your people now. Well, we all need it, Lord. We're not